this evening. Let me remind you of the announcements for today and the incoming week. Do remember that today is a retiring offering for the building fund. If you have any gifts to bring in, then we do encourage you to do so this evening. Tomorrow night there will be the online children's meeting at the usual time of 7:15 on our YouTube and our Facebook pages. And we do pray that the Lord will bless and even use those efforts to reaching the lost and even winning them for Christ in these days. Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. It is our weekly Bible study and prayer meeting, and we do encourage God's people. As we mentioned this morning, it will also be the 70th anniversary, the 17th of March being the 70th anniversary of the foundation of our denomination. What better way to spend it than in the house of the Lord, rejoicing and giving thanks and raising our Ebenezers even unto our God in heaven. And so we do extend to each one, young and old alike, that invitation to come to God's house and to be in your place even on Wednesday night and around the throne of grace in prayer. Then next Sunday, the services, we extend that invitation to the children once again to tune in to the online Sunday school brought to you by the home missionaries, the children evangelists, every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And then our services here in the church at the normal times of 11:30 and 7 p.m. And we are, as we've mentioned, taking for the entire day the topic and marking the 70th anniversary of the Free Presbyterian denomination. And we will be looking back in the morning and then in the evening time looking forward. And we do trust you will be here. We do encourage you to let others know of the meetings and be much in prayer for them, that the Lord will bless and even use his word for his honour and indeed for his own glory. So that's the announcement, short and sweet, this evening. And we're going to commence now. The first item of praise is from the Rainey family, and they're going to sing to us in Shady Green Pastures, God Leads His Dear Children Along.
Oh,
for sending us that peace over. And we do certainly appreciate the words of that hymn. They're a wonderful hymn indeed, wonderful truth found within those words. And even now, I encourage you to stand with me for prayer, and we'll give thanks to the Lord even for his blessings. And even as we look to the Lord for his help again this evening in this service together. Our Father and our God in heaven, O God, we come to thee with praise and with thanksgiving in our hearts. We do rejoice that thou art our God. We do rejoice that we are thy people. We thank thee for ever setting thy love upon us. We thank thee, O God, for saving us. We thank thee for the gift of salvation. Lord, we thank thee that when thou dost save and when thou dost pluck a sinner out of the miry clay, thou dost set their feet upon the rock, Christ Jesus. We thank thee that thou art the one who is the only one to establish our goings and to put that new song in our mouths, even praise unto the Lord. We thank thee even for those words that we've just heard being sang to us. I know what truth is found within them. We think of those words there in the book of Isaiah, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. And I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the floods, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel." Oh, Father, what a blessing it is to be saved. What a joy it is to put our faith and our trust in our Redeemer every single step of the way. Oh God, we rejoice this night that thou art the one who knows the journey. Thou art the one who knows the ups and the downs, the mountaintops and the valley experiences. Now thou art the one who goes before us, and yea, who goes with us. Father, this night we do come to worship thee. We thank thee at the end of this thy day once again, as this day draws to a close, we are found in thy house. We are found, O God, with that desire in our hearts to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We are found, O God, in thy house with that desire to hear thy word, both read and indeed preached. And Lord, we do pray that it will be a blessed hour in thy house once again, that it will be a hallowed time when God himself draws near. We think even this morning, O Lord, of that wind that was coming. Lord, such a windy day, but yet it's not the wind we're looking for. It is that still small voice of God. Oh, come and speak to our hearts this night, we pray thee. Come and minister to our needs. Lord, we do think of any that be in our gathering this night or even tuning in online, still out of Christ without a Savior. Oh, Lord, we pray for them. We pray, O God, that thou wilt awaken them. That thou, O God, wilt stir their hearts even this night by thy Spirit. That thou wilt prick their conscience. O God, that thou wilt bring them to an end of themselves, and this will be the night when they cry unto thee. When they do that business with God and their souls are saved for all eternity. Lord, to many this is just another meeting. It's just another Sunday. But O God, may this be the change in someone's life that affects their eternal destination. Lord, come amongst us, we pray thee. Bless each family. Bless every individual. Bless, O God, those that are unable to be with us this night. Lord, undertake for them. Watch over them. Keep thy loving arms around about them. Lord, remember, we pray thee, our elderly. Remember our children, our young people. Remember each and every one. Lord, thou knowest every day this week what it will bring for each person. Thou knowest, O God, the shocks and Lord, what is around the corner for each one, those unexpected events which will take place. And Father, we commit ourselves into thy hands. We pray that thou wilt lead us, that thou wilt guide us, that thou wilt undertake for us. Lord, come, we pray thee, and bless us even now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to read together, and we're reading from the book of Genesis. And the chapter 3, and the book of Genesis in the chapter 3. And we'll take the time this evening to read the chapter together. We mentioned this morning, want to be looking Tonight at Eve, the mother of all of the living, as she is described in the verse 20 of the chapter. But certainly to set the context for that verse, it is important to read the chapter as its entirety. So we're going to commence at the verse number 1, Genesis chapter 3. And the opening verse, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good from evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. The Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldst not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me off the tree, and I did eat. The Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. The Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins, and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat, and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Amen. And we do pray that the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word to each and to every heart. We're going to have one more item of praise, and it is our brother Jonathan Story and his girlfriend Lauren, and they're singing to us just now, please. Thank you.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, I'm leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. To walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, I'm leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Dread, what have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, I'm leaning, safe and secure from all alarms.
We want to thank Jonathan and Lauren for sending us those pieces through. And it has been a blessing week by week to have the various ones who have so kindly recorded and sang and played for us. Genesis chapter 3 this evening. As we said, today is Mother's Day, and we wanted just to speak on one mother in Scripture. Of course, there are many, but this evening it is the verse 20 we draw your attention to. In Genesis chapter 3, and it says, Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. And that's simply the title we've given it this evening, as it is there in the verse, Eve, the mother of all living. Perhaps we'll stand just again for prayer, and just to change your positions. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee, O God, once again, for thy help thus far in this service and for thy presence with us. And Lord, even now as we come to the preaching part, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt tarry with us, that thou wilt touch us, O God, that thou wilt speak to us. Lord, it is thy word that we're coming to study, and we need thy help for it. We need the Spirit of God to come and to touch every heart, every mind, and yea, to touch my lips. O Father, work in me and work through me this night, and work in each and in every heart for the honor and for the glory of King Jesus. Lord, encourage thy people. Lord, have mercy upon the lost. Speak to them. Draw them unto thyself. Lord, for any that be cold at heart in a backslidden state, O Lord, bring them once again from that wandering pasture, and bring them into the fold of God. Hear our prayers, because we offer them in the name of our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Dr. Campbell Morgan, the great preacher and Bible commentator, had four sons. And all four of those sons, as they grew up, became ministers of the gospel. After a number of years of the various sons preaching in their different churches, all of the family had the occasion and the opportunity to be together for somewhat of a family reunion. And as they were having that time together, there was a friend of the family within the gathering as well. He turned to one of the sons and he asked the son, he says, "Well, tell me this, which of the Morgans is the best preacher?" And Morgan's son, without hesitation, he just simply said, "The mother is." You know, mothers truly are special. Within the framework of a home and within the framework of a family. Whether it be the care and the compassion of a loving mother towards the children, or the wisdom and the counsel of an understanding mother. As the children grow up in the home, that they can turn to their mother and they can look for that care, that love in those times of great need. All of those various attributes, all of those various characteristics, they all come together to honor the matriarchs within the home. And of course, to have a godly mother is truly a great privilege indeed. To grow up in a home where your mother knows and loves the Lord, and to have one there who prays for her children, whose faith in the Lord shines forth in all that she does for her children. You know, as you go through the scriptures, time and again, honor is given to both women and indeed mothers. You go through, just to give you one example, you go through the history books. You go through the books of Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles. Whenever a new king was anointed and installed upon the throne, you'll always have the detail very often given of who the mother was. Just to give you one example of it, if you followed on from this morning, 1 Kings 21, you come into 1 Kings 22. In verse 42, it tells us Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he began to reign. And his mother's name was Izubah. There was a man raised up to the greatest office within the country. He's now the king of the nation. He's now the king of the people. And yet the Holy Spirit draws attention to who the mother was. Of course, as you go into the New Testament, the Holy Spirit inspires the gospel writers to speak both of Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, and to speak of Mary, the mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Mothers certainly are special. And the very first mother that this world has ever had is recorded in the book of the beginnings, the book of Genesis. As we read that verse, Genesis 3 and 20, Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. What can be said of that very first mother? Well, certainly she was unique in so many ways. Now, of course, all mothers are unique to their children. Children will always claim to have the best mother, and rightly so. I claim to have the best mother. My children claim to have the best mother. Your children, you as well, will claim that your mother was the best mother and is the best mother. Because, of course, the mother is always the best for her own children. But the mother of all living, and I don't know if this is grammatically correct or not, but the mother of all living is uniquely unique. Two reasons for that. First of all, her countenance was unique. I believe out of all of the women that are recorded in Scripture, and of course, we can think of Esther, and in the book of Esther, it speaks about how beautiful Esther was. But I believe the most beautiful woman that has ever walked upon this earth was Eve. And I believe Adam was the best looking man, because both of them were created in the image of God. Both of them were created by God. Genesis 1:27, it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." And of course, when God created Adam and Eve, there was no sin in the world. There was no diseases, there was no issues at all. There were no germs, there were no environmental or atmospheric problems. There was nothing to contaminate, as it were, or to touch or to taint those beings as they came into living and into life. It wasn't the case that anyone came and looked and says, "Oh, your little," or "Adam looks like his father," or "Eve looks like her mother." Wasn't a case of people coming up and going, "Oh, your son's got his father's nose or his mother's chin." Both of them were created by God. And so the countenance of them was unique. Not only was her countenance unique, but her creation was unique. Now, every part, it was interesting as you go through Genesis chapter 1. Every part of God's creation was done by his mouth. God spoke everything into existence. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God spoke the sun, the moon, and the stars into existence. He spoke the mountains. He spoke the seas. He spoke every single living creature, the trees, all of the animals, the fowls in the air and the sea, and the fish in the sea. But not man. God didn't speak man into existence. Tells us in Genesis 2 and verse 7, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." God created Adam out of the dust of the ground. But he didn't create woman out of dust. To create woman, God performed the first ever surgical procedure. As I said, Genesis is the book of beginnings. And the very first surgery that's ever taken place in this world is recorded for us in Scripture. God is the surgeon and God is also the anesthetist. Because Genesis chapter 2 and the verse 21 and 22 tells us there that the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and then he closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Very first surgery that's ever been performed, and the very first time the body was ever opened up. And it's God who's in control of it all. It's God who's there performing that operation. He takes that one rib. And from that one rib, he created woman. Never has there been a creation like that of the woman. And as I said, the first mother was uniquely unique. But there are two issues and two other points I want to leave with you primarily this evening. To highlight to you about the very first mother that there ever was. When you see firstly with me, chapter 3, the verse 20, I want you to see her title. Her title. Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. You know, before the fall, Adam's wife was not known as Eve. Genesis 2 and the verse 23, he had originally called her by a different name. Because he said in Genesis 2:23, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she is taken out of the man. She shall be called Isha." That's a Hebrew word for woman. That is what he described her. That is how he called her. That is how he named her. "I will call you woman." Why? Because you have been taken out of me. It's only after the fall that Adam changed her name to Eve. That name, as the verse shows us, it means mother of all living.
Or very simply, you can say Eve is the life giver. When you consider that in light of the rest of chapter 3 as we read it together, you consider it in light of the context of the fall in the Garden of Eden. And all that transpired and all that took place there at that time, the great fall, the great judgment that God had just passed upon mankind. Everything in the world has just changed. Sin has just entered into the world. Eve has just been deceived by the devil. She had been taken in by the subtlety, the cunningness of that old serpent. See, that's the difference between her and Adam, by the way. Eve was deceived. Adam wasn't. Adam sinned knowingly and willingly. 2 Timothy 2, the verse 14, it says, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Whenever the serpent came, the serpent that was more subtle than any beast of the field, whenever he came to Eve, he deceived her. But he didn't deceive Adam. Adam sinned willingly. Whenever you add that in and you remember that Adam is and was our representative within the Garden of Eden. Adam was the first Adam. He was created in the image of God. He was given that role. He was given the responsibility in the garden. Adam was the first prophet, priest, and king. Of course, we know if you study your shorter catechism, it speaks about the offices of the Lord Jesus Christ being the prophet, the priest, and the king. Adam was the first prophet, priest, and king on earth. How do I know that? Well, taking him in reverse order, he was the king. Genesis 2, 19 and 20, he is the one who named every creature. He was the one given that responsibility. He was over all of creation upon the earth. He named every animal. Every animal was brought and came to him. He was the priest. Genesis 3, 8 and 9, he is the one, or he was the one who interceded with God. He was the one whom the Lord was coming to speak with in the cool of the day. And then he is the prophet. Genesis 2, the verses 16 and 17. Because he was the one who received the message from the Lord. And in turn, relayed it to his wife. Because you notice that in Genesis 2, the verses 16 and 17. It says, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. God gave that message to Adam. Eve wasn't even created at that stage. And yet we know that whenever the serpent came to Eve in the next chapter, she was able to speak, she was able to say what Adam had preached to her. Adam had relayed that message. He had passed that message on to Eve when she was created. You're not to touch the tree of knowledge. You're not to eat of it. You're not to touch it. That is a message of the Lord for us. And yet Adam, with all of the blessings that he had in the Garden of Eden, with all of the responsibility, being our representative, he sinned willingly. Eve taken into sin, and after they had sinned, God had came in the cool of the day. That cry went out from the Lord, Adam, where art thou? He confronted them, he judged them, he punished them for their sin. The guilty verdict had been pronounced. Judgment had been declared. The reality of sin and the consequences of sin have just been revealed to Adam and to Eve. There will be great pain. There will be great suffering. There will be great heartache. There will be sorrow. The ground no longer is blessed. Rather, the ground is now cursed. Thorns and thistles will come. There will be hardship. There will be hard labor all thy days. And at the end of thy days, you'll return to the dust. There will be death. And yet with death ringing in Adam's ears, because it's a verse 19 of the chapter that the Lord says to him, "Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." In the very next verse, Adam changes her name to Life Giver. You see, in the midst of God's condemnation of sin, in the midst of the darkness of that sin that had now entered into the Garden of Eden and had entered into their hearts, as all of that darkness was now come upon them in the midst of that sin, God in His infinite mercy and His infinite grace had shone in a ray of light in the gospel. In verse 15, He had told them those wonderful words, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel." God, even as He preached forth that message, as He preached the judgment of their sins, as He brought to them the condemnation even of their sins, and all that was coming, yet He preached to them, He had showed them, yes, the wages of sin is death, but the gift to you is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God had showed them clearly that through the seed of the woman would come a Savior. Between then, the seed of the woman and the seed of the devil, there would be a great war. There would be a great battle for all the ages. There would be a great battle of the ages. There would be that great battle for the souls of man and of woman. And there would only be one victor. Yes, the seed of the woman would be wounded for our transgressions. He'd be bruised for our iniquities. But ultimately He would defeat and crush the head of the serpent. And so in reality here is the Lord Himself, the preacher of the very first gospel message that was ever preached, as He brings His message to a close. Adam then turns to his wife. Says, "No longer are you woman, you're now Eve. You're the mother of all the living." Now, in reality, what you have in the changing of the name from woman to Eve is you have the very first confession of faith that was ever declared. And you also have the very first, I believe, conversions to faith. You see, God in the Garden of Eden, as I said, preached that very first gospel message. He showed forth the depravity of sin. He showed forth the consequences of sin. And then He showed forth the way of salvation. And as that message came to an end, Adam and indeed his wife had decisions to make. They are responsible for their reaction, their response to the gospel message. God clearly had set forth to them the very distinguishing, the very distinct two different camps. Because there's either life or there's death. There's either victory or there's defeat. And now that decision must be made. Which camp are you going to be in? Which one are you going to stand with? Are you going to go with the seed of the devil, the old serpent? Are you going to go with the seed of the woman? Reminds me of the sermon which Moses preached to the Israelites. Just before his death, it's recorded for us as he's bringing his concluding remarks in Deuteronomy 30. Very soon he will finish his sermon. He's going to go up into the Mount Pisgah. He's going to look over across the land of Canaan and then he's going to die up there. But his closing remarks to the Israelite people is this: "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." Now, as I said, I believe what you have in Genesis 3 and 20 is the conversion of Adam.
And I believe also the conversion of Eve. For what is being said here in the changing of that name simply from woman to Eve, and indeed that name that is chosen, is that we are putting our faith and trust in the one who will come through the seed of this woman. We are believing the word of God. We're believing that message that the Lord has just brought to us. We are believing that message of the gospel that he has just preached. We believe a Savior will come. And we believe a Savior will defeat the devil. And we believe this Savior will conquer death. And he'll conquer hell forever. And we are choosing between death and life. We're choosing between good and evil. And by the power of the Holy Spirit upon us, we are choosing life. We are choosing Christ. My, what a transformation has just occurred in the hearts of Adam and of Eve. Having sinned and disobeyed God, and by doing so, their desires are now against God. By sinning in the Garden of Eden, they were now at enmity with God. And yet here was the work of the Holy Spirit. He called them effectually, and then he regenerated them. He brought them from death unto life. And by the changing of that name from woman to Eve, what are they doing? They're confessing with their mouth the Lord Jesus. They're believing with their hearts that Christ is their Savior. You know, you might say, well, that only applies to Adam. He's the one who changed the name. He's the one who stated what he did whenever he called her Eve. He said, she is the mother. You can say, oh, that's just his confession. What evidence is there that it was Eve's confession? How do we know she believed in the coming Messiah for salvation? Well, secondly and finally, I want you to see with me not only the title, but I want you to see her testimony. Chapter 4 and the verse 1 tells us Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She called her firstborn Cain, because she says, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now, of course, it's for every family it differs about how to and who picks the names for the children. Sometimes it's a joint decision, sometimes it's the husband chooses one and the wife chooses the next, or the husband chooses the boys, the wife chooses the girls. There's so many different ways they can come to different agreements. But according to Scripture here, from what we can see, the three names of the three sons of Eve that we read about, Cain, Abel, and Seth, she chooses every name. That's not saying it's biblical that the woman chooses them all, because of course, when you come to Jacob and Rachel, the naming of Benjamin, it is Jacob that chooses the name and overrules his wife. So we'll leave it up to every family as to who chooses a name whenever it comes to your own children. But you know, in the midst of that sorrows and the pains of childbirth, as she brings her firstborn into the world, she has great joy. As that child is there in her arms, and as she's looking down upon that little one, she sees the beginning of the fulfillment of that gospel promise. She is starting to have children. She is starting to have seed. And by having that son, now what does that mean? That means there's going to be another generation. There's going to be follow on after Adam and Eve. There's going to be more children. There's going to be more generations. That's the providence of God working even all things in relation to the gospel around her. There's another generation, there's another child, and there's another one who's going to come after me and after him. I'm believing in the promise of a Savior. You know, there are those, and commentators, and they do believe that when Eve had Cain, that she believed this is the Messiah. There are some that believe whenever she had that firstborn, she felt within her heart, the Lord is bringing the Messiah immediately. That's why she says what she does. I can't stand over that because it doesn't tell us that in Scripture. But if she did, well, Cain didn't crush the serpent's head. He crushed his mother's heart. He lived a life of sin. He rebelled against the godly upbringing that his parents gave him. They taught him the ways of the Lord. They taught him the gospel. And instead of accepting the gospel, instead of believing in his mother's Savior, instead of believing in his father's Lord, he turned his back upon that gospel teaching, because whenever it came to that sacrifice, that worship to the Lord, he says, no, I'm not coming in faith. I'm bringing the blood sacrifice. I'm coming presenting my works. I reject your way of salvation. I'll get my own way to heaven. I'll get my own way to please God. I'll bring the finest of my fruits and I'll offer them to the Lord. And the Lord said no. And what happened? He went out and he slew his brother. After which then he abandoned his family and in the exile for the rest of his life. And yet even all of that tragedy and all of that sorrow that Mother Eve had to carry as she lost one son to murder and another son to exile, yet she never gave up on the Lord. How do I know that? Genesis 4:25. Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. You know, the name Seth, it means set one or substitute. And even after all of that sadness and all of that grief and all of the heartache of burying her second son and of losing her firstborn, and even though whenever Cain had been born, she saw that seed and she blessed that seed and she called him Cain because she could see that promise of the Lord coming to fruition. And yet all of that change and all of that darkness and all of the sin and the wickedness that came into that family home. And yet here comes another child. The Lord blesses again. And she says, my faith is still in Christ. I'm still believing in a Savior. This is now the seed. This is the set one. This is the lineage through which the Savior will come. He'll come through the house of Seth. Just because of the sin will not prevail. And now you can see how the devil was even working. The devil seeking to destroy and to wreck that family. Because, of course, he's seeking to destroy and to wreck the gospel. And he was there when the Lord had brought that sermon. He was there when he had brought that message to Adam and Eve. I'll put enmity between thee and the devil, thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head and it shall bruise his heel. The devil heard it all. The devil, therefore, was against it all. And so there is Cain, and he's killing Abel, and then he's away off. He's gone into the world. He's gone to sin forever. The devil's working away, trying to wreck the gospel lineage, and yet here comes now Seth. And what does Eve say? That's the set one. That's the substitute line. There will be a Savior.
Yes, the devil sought to wreck, to ruin, but God in his infinite mercy, he set it in place. There will be a Savior. And that promise which God gave us in the Garden of Eden before he cast us out, I believe. If she had 1 Corinthians 1:20, she would testify it. All the promises of God are in him, are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God. The mother of all living, her faith was strong, and her testimony was sure. I believe tonight Adam and Eve are both in heaven. I believe they are in that garden at the end of that gospel message. Yes, the Lord had set forth death and life. He had set forth the blessing and the cursing. He had set forth the privileges that are found in Christ. And he had set forth the punishments for those that remain in the world. And I believe that Adam and Eve put their faith and trust in Christ. But tonight I ask the question as we close. What about you? Mothers here tonight, what is your testimony? What is your testimony before your children? What is your testimony before the Lord? I ask the same of fathers. I ask the same of children. I ask the same of each and every individual. What is your testimony before the Lord tonight? Are you believing on the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation? Are you believing on that promised seed, the Savior who came, the one who warred against the devil, the one who won against the devil? Or tonight, like Cain, are you saying, I'll get there my way? I'll bring my finest. Oh, Eve, the mother of all living. What a title she was given. What a testimony she had. I trust and pray that each one tonight has a testimony to give. Not of self, but of a Savior. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee. Lord, even there, as man sinned in that Garden of Eden, yet that gospel light shone forth. Thank thee for the promise of a Savior. We thank and praise thee that promise was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We thank thee that when he came to this earth, he was the perfect substitute. He was the perfect sacrifice for sin. We thank and praise thee this night that he warred with the devil. And he won that great victory upon the cross. We praise thee, O God, that salvation, which was purchased at such a high cost, is free to each and to every one who this night turns and believes on Christ. Father, write thy word upon every heart. Speak to each one, we pray thee, take us to our homes in safety. Watch over us in the week to come. Bless our going outs and our coming ins. O Father, undertake in these days, save souls. Glorify thy Son. In his name we pray. Amen.